David Dye on the World Cafe. For many people, their relationship with Bare Naked Ladies started with a song about $1 million. For others, maybe it was their song 1 week. The wit and onstage antics took this gifted Canadian band to an arena-filling popularity. Now they have made a bold move and have released their new album, Bare Naked Ladies Are Me, on their own, independently. I asked Ed Robertson about the album, which is apparently being made available in multiple formats, including you can get it as a memory stick.
You can get the thing on a memory stick, right?
Yeah, USB flash drive. Yeah, you can get a 29-song version off the web. You can get a 13-song version in the store. You can get another 14-song version next year, or you can get them all right now on our website or iTunes.
And for the first time ever, we're offering nothing as well. You can decide not to buy anything.
That's right.
We're the first artist to do that.
Yeah.
That's the truly independent decision. People say, oh, gosh, they lost their label deal. You know, now they're independent. But it was not the way it was with you guys. You really decided to do this on your own. Do you think more people are going to start doing that? Because it, economically, doesn't it make sense?
It does for us. I mean, it would have been crazy for us to have lost our deal, because we were always in a great position where we had, you know, fans who bought the record right away, and we were never ever in debt to our label. But we certainly understood that we were kind of getting shuffled down the deck, and it's hard for us to compete with Green Days and whoever the big artist at the moment at a label tends to be. And the way the labels work now more than ever is that the attention gets devoted to the very top of their roster and a few new artists that they gamble on, mm-hmm. and then everybody else just kind of sits there in the middle of the stack. Was that worth giving 80% of our revenues to a label for? So luckily our management company network has all that infrastructure built in. You know, not every band has that great opportunity at disposal. So we kind of get to do it the other way around. I'd love to see in the future labels offer those services as services to mm-hmm, artists mm-hmm. and artists be able to contract them rather than the other way around. And, you know, when the artist is in control of their own copyright, they can kind of do whatever they want with it. They can give it away. They can license it to other people. They can do all kinds of things a lot quicker than you could through the bureaucracy of a big label.
Now, I want to talk about the music, but I do want to talk a little bit more about this business end of it. And one of the things is the Canadian Music Creators Coalition. Mm-hmm. Maybe explain what that is.
In Canada, the laws are slightly different than they are here in the United States when it comes to copyright and P2P sharing and those kinds of things. And the courts a couple years ago struck down an attempt by the labels to get the IP or get the names of big uploaders mm-hmm. in Canada. So essentially the judge in that case went a little farther and said P2P sharing is not illegal and in Canada. But what we can see, we have a new government in Canada. We can see that there's this huge attempt from the big copyright holders, especially the record labels in Canada, as well as publishers, to try to clamp down on things like P2P sharing. And I, along with the other guys in the band and a bunch of other musicians, got together and said, we have to make sure that our fans understand this isn't coming from us. This is coming from people who have obligations to shareholders, and they have to do what they have to do in order to protect their copyrights. But it's not forward thinking. And mm-hmm. by continuing to just try and sue your fans, your biggest customers, if you want to look at them that way, is asinine. You know, my sense is that the Pandora's box has been opened. People have always liked to share music. Technology has made it easier and easier to do on a much bigger scale. So it's our responsibility as a business to find ways to make money out of that, not to try and pretend that shouldn't happen and clamp down on it and get rid of it. It's going to always be there. Now we have to figure out ways to serve our fans.
We know statistically that people who download and share music buy more music than anyone else. So that makes it a good thing.
Well, isn't it in some ways the saving grace of your position that you can always survive as a live act on top of all this? I mean, not that you don't, you know, want to sell a lot of records.
Yeah. No, we're fortunate. We know there's lots of avenues to make a living. And I certainly don't want it to just be about live artists, because I think there's people who make records who just sit in their bedrooms and make, you know, whether it's a Steely Dan of the 70s or a DJ or remixer who sits in their bedroom and makes, you know, interesting new music or whatever kind of new music, they should all find ways to get money from it. But by suing fans, I don't think anybody's going to find that. You can't just close the door and say, we're going to go back to selling 8-tracks and vinyl.
I think fans of music are not interested in stealing music. They just want to get music easily and conveniently. And P2P sharing has done that. If pricing can come in line with an online service, then I think more and more people will buy music.
Some fans want to steal music, but some people want to steal diamonds too. Like, there are people who do that. But
so does that mean that if somebody goes online and buys music from the 70s, they're stealing Dan? Is that what that means?
Yes.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Stewart. Stephen Page has been expounding with Ed Robertson kicking in. And, of course, Bare Naked Ladies are our guest today. I wanted to get some music go on stage, and Bull in a China Shop is how you guys began. Whose tune, or can one say that nowadays? How does the writing work?
That's one that I came to Ed with, and we wrote fairly quickly. We finish it off pretty quickly. And that's kind of how we do it, is when the two of us write together, one guy will come with the basic shape of a song and part, you know, maybe it's a chorus or the first verse or something like that. And then we sit down together and kind of bash out the shape of it.
Or I'll come to Steve and say, I don't really have a melody yet or any lyrics, but I know it's a big hit. Can you help me with it?
And Steve is good at that.
He's excellent at that.
Yeah. So let's begin. This is the Bull in a China Shop.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, folks.
Thank you for joining us today.
beautiful, but there is an incompleteness. The days are beautiful, but I feel a bit of sweetness. If I had a wish, or even a choice, I'd wake up to the sound of your voice. How I miss waking up to the sound of your voice. I let you down and fell right off of your good list. I hope each day you'll find peace and forgiveness. Be loved, love rings.
Don't give up.
But this little song is about second chances. Just say the word, and I will rejoice and wake up to the sound of your voice. Oh, how I miss waking up to the sound, to the sound, to the sound,
to the sound.
That sound of your voice, along with Bull in a China Shop, those are two of the new ones on Bare Naked Ladies Are Me. That's on the non-deluxe edition. The deluxe edition has a bunch of other very fine songs.
Icing.
Exactly. Well, how did you decide what was cake and what was icing in this?
It was all cake and icing.
Yeah.
As, you know, there's a deluxe version. We should just call it the extended edition, yeah, really, because it's all deluxe.
In my mind, that's the real record.
Yeah.
But I also know it's a lot to digest for people who are casual fans, and you can't dismiss casual fans. They're kind of what makes what we found when we had the success with Stunned. Let's say we sold 1 million copies of the previous record to diehard fans, and then we sold 4 million of the next record. Those extra 3 million people didn't all become diehards. They just loved those songs they heard on the radio. And you know, you want to be able to give them the opportunity to hear records without having to always be diehards.
You bring up something that really actually has, I can relate to what you're saying in terms of radio. You have the people who love your radio station and the ones who are casual listeners. Mm-hmm. But you really have to, you guys have, you talk about 1 million copies of record. You guys have a huge fan base of people who love whatever you do. Are you thinking first of them?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Bare Naked Ladies Are Me as a title reflects too, is how those core fans relate to us. They relate to us as individuals. There might be a guy in the band that they think of themselves relating to, or they're just the values and the sense of humor and whatever else. And they've kind of created their own community now around us. It's almost like we don't even have to be here. The concerts are an opportunity for them to get together and meet up, and the the internet is a place where they have created all kinds of friendships in their own culture, kind of without us. And we thought it'd be foolish to not engage that.
We noticed that a little bit today in the audience that was here for the concert. The album has sort of not just been out a few days, but people knew a lot of the lyrics already. They knew everything, and that must be from downloading and from...
We made stuff available very early on. Last Christmas, when we did our Christmas tour, we every night played a brand new song. And then all those shows are available online for purchase, and so people...
So the diehards already had all the new songs.
Yeah.
And then we did a live concert... early in the summer, where we played all the new songs, and we had them gradually going out on our MySpace page as well. So,
and we have a mind control experiment happening as well. Mm-hmm. They don't realize it, but they're being manipulated.
If you're a fan of their song 1 Week, you probably have memorized the lyrics, including the line about Bert Kempfert having the mad hits. Well, Bert Kempfert was an easy-listening trumpet player in the 60s, and I joke that the band was responsible for a resurgence in his career.
You guys were responsible for the worldwide Bert Kempfert revival a little while ago, and
it's Kev's fault.
That's totally Kevin Hearn.
Is it really?
Fault. Yeah. Kev, what do you have to say for yourself about that?
I was shopping, I guess, at Amoeba Records in Los Angeles and saw the cover, Bert Kempfert's Greatest Hits, and I just thought, wow, I don't know who this guy is, but he looks really cool, and I'm going to check it out. And none of my bandmates knew who he was either, but we all really loved the music, and he's great. He wrote Strangers in the Night and
produced the first Beatles recording session.
Did
Tony
he really?
Sheridan.
Yeah. Wow!
Nice.
So we
That's
were
a
on
great
our
cheese.
We were on our tour bus, and my dad got on the bus, and the music was playing, and he went, "Oh, Bert Kempfert."
I am old enough to have heard him on the radio when he first time around. So I always thought he was kind of scary then too. I mean, it's a strange sound. And congratulations on reproducing the Bert Kempfert sound perfectly for an iota of a second on 1 Week.
That's right. That's so, a little sample of a horn that was slowed down.
Well, you know, we're bringing back the names here. James Last and Bert Kempfert. Wait for the Sergio Mendes in Brazil 66.
That's a Black Eyed Peas has already done that.
Yeah, forget about it.
Oh, okay. Well, wait for the Sergio Valente in Gene 77.
I'll say this up because you guys did a version of 1 Week for the audience, and we'll play that one now.
It's been 1 week since you looked at me. Cocked your head in the side and said I'm angry. 5 days since you left me. Said, not together, come back and see me. 3 days since I'm living room. I realize it's all my fault, but couldn't tell you yesterday. You've forgiven me, but it'll still be 2 days till I say I'm sorry.
Hope to never watch the hood wink as I make you stop drink. You think you're looking at Aquaman. Some of this is the dish, although I like sherry, so sound like sushi. Never touch a frying pan.
I like wasabi when I bust rhymes. Speak like Leanne rhymes. Because I'm all about value. Bert Kempfert's got the bad hits. You try to match wits. You try to hold me but I bust through. Gonna make a break and take a fake. I like a stink and make a shake. I like vanilla. It's the finest of the flavors. But see the show cause then you know the vertigo is gonna go. Cause it's so dangerous. You'll have to sign a waiver. Can't help it if I think you're funny when you're mad. Trying hard not to smile though I feel bad.
You looked at me, threw your arms in the air and said you're crazy. 5 days since you tackled me. Well, I still got the rug burns on both my knees. It's been 3 days since the afternoon. Realize it's not my fault, not a moment too soon. Yesterday you forgiven me, so now I sit back and I wait until you say you're sorry. China, the Chinese chicken, chickadee China, the Chinese chicken, chickadee China, the Chinese chicken, chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. You have a drumstick and your brain stops ticking. Watching the X-Files and the lights on, get the dollar maze on. Oh, the smoky bands in this one, like Harrison Ford, I'm getting frantic. I think I'm tantric, I think it's guaranteed to satisfy. Cause you're a seller hunting bad films, yeah, I don't make films, but if I did, they'd have a samurai. Gonna get a set of better cups, gonna mind the cabin, tidying up to some minds, I'd always light up the backswing. You're getting to it, Sailor Moon, cause Akatuna's got the boom, and I'm mid-babes, and made me think the wrong thing. Can't help it if I think you're funny when you're mad. I try and hard not to smile, though I feel bad. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, can't understand what I mean.
You don't want to see what I mean?
Have a tendency to wear my mind on my sleeve. Have a history of losing my shirt. It's been 1 week since you looked at me.
dropped you onto the side and said I'm sorry. 5 days since I laughed at you. I said,
just getting into that show and then...
3 days since the living room. Realized the bones were blamed, but what could we do? Yesterday, you just smiled at me. I said, it'll still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Still be 2 days till we say we're sorry. Still be 2 days till we say we're sorry.
Well, thank you very much.
That's our guest, Bare Naked Ladies, live on stage at World Cafe Live with the song you know. Stephen, you have a studio at your house, and so you invited all these guys over to record this thing. What did the rest of your family think about that?
It's in a separate building. We have a farm outside the city, so it's actually in a barn, so they don't have to see and hear and smell us all the time.
They live in the house. Steve lives in the barn.
And cows and the horses really were kind of put off, but we tried to give them lots of hay.
Were you brought up in a barn?
It's actually kept on cool, leaving the door open, and it was disastrous.
It's nice to be able to blame the smell on something other than us.
But the recording studio is right between a huge cornfield and a sheep pasture, and it's really peaceful. There's a nice little brook there. It was a really nice place to focus and work.
And one of the things you came up with was this song "Easy," which I think it's the only pop song with the word "obfuscate" in it. Who brought the word to the table?
Steve definitely brought the word to the table.
Language is still free, so we figured we just may as well just use it until we have to start paying for it.
Well, this is like my ears, a real perfect pop song. This is "Easy" live on stage from Bare Naked Ladies.
What's a boy to do when you tell your tale and it never fails and just end up feeling bad for you? With your hangdog eyes, you can bring me down. Now I'm wrapped around your whole hand. Stop looking so surprised. You make it easy. You make it easy. I've been burned before. You're not fooling me. There's no mystery. Forgotten what you're hiding for. Call it self-defense. You can obfuscate and manipulate, but it's only at your own expense. You make it easy. Now to judge you, easy to betray, easy to adore you though you want to run away. It's easy.
Mm-hmm.
look what you have done. I can do the same, too. Can play this game, you'll no longer be the only one. To make it easy, make it easy, make it easy. Easy,
That's the easy one you probably know already from Bare Naked Ladies Are Me, and we're getting a chance to talk with the band today. We talk about, you know, how many versions of this album there are, but there are also all kinds of interactive opportunities. There's a remix opportunity on your website, right?
Yep.
And also, tell me about the YouTube air guitar thing.
Well, we're doing a video for Wind It Up, and it's a good air guitar track. Yeah. And YouTube just seemed like the perfect opportunity to, again, you know, try and engage the fans. And air guitaring is such an oddly personal thing. It's something people do in their bedroom, you know, looking at the mirror. They do it on their own, or they do it in a concert situation where it's dark around them and they're looking at the artist, not really thinking about the artist looking back at them. So to have people do something so personal in front of a camera, and it's so easy to do now with a little webcam, or even the you know, video camera on your digital still camera works fine. You upload that to YouTube, and we're going to put them all together and make a fan video of it.
One of the tunes you finished up with today, I've always assumed, Stephen, that Apartment is your tune.
It's Ed's and mine. Uh-huh. I started the song as a kind of a ballady kind of. I imagined it being like please, please, please let me get what I want by the Smiths. That kind of of morose kind of song. And Ed said, why don't we just do this as a rock song? And started playing it with the feel that we play it now. And it's like, It became the song that it is by doing it that way.
And it's a good one. Let's finish up with this version of Little Apartment. Thank you guys so much for coming by.
Thanks for having us.
Total treat. Bare Naked Ladies, our guest.
Broke into the old apartment. This is where we used to live. Into the old apartment, 42 stairs from the street. Crooked landing, crooked landlord, narrow lane with velvet coats. This is where we used to live. Why did they pay for love? Why did they love? Why did I have to break it? I-
stopped on the floor just for fun.
I know we don't live here anymore. We bought an old house on the damn floor. She loves me and her body keeps me warm. And I am happy there. This is where we used to live. Broke into the old apartment.
The Old Apartment finishing up our session live on stage, Bare Naked Ladies. The new album is Bare Naked Ladies Are Me, and that is available at our World Cafe CD store at worldcafe.npr.org. Support for the World Cafe is provided by the members of the World Cafe affiliates nationwide. They include KRNM on Saipan and KSLU in Hammond, Louisiana. Shows produced at WXPN from the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. There's lots of reasons to visit our website. Let me remind you that there's archived audio of our interviews there, and now playlists of the show. That is worldcafe.npr.org. I'm David Dye. This is the World Cafe.